Pull over, lean in. It's time for the Soft Shoulder Podcast. I am your host, Danette Relic of Radical Creative Sanctuary, inviting spaciousness for your mind and your heart. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. The Soft Shoulder is your time. Your time to slow down and fuel up on self-love support, so you can make the most of your gorgeous life. Join me here. Everyone needs a soft shoulder. If you've had frenemies in real life, you know that strange sensation of home and harm intertwined. It's a really specific dynamic. It's that friend who is close enough to really get in there and do some damage, to do things that friends aren't supposed to do. They are sometimes our most favorite people, sometimes not friends, but family members, coworkers, people in your community or clubs. You know, these might be the people in your life who are exciting and adoring, listening, supportive people, people we share inside jokes with. They get us. They really get us. Which is why it is so confusing and hurtful when you feel that sting of passive-aggressive comments. It's almost difficult to believe. Is that? No, they didn't mean that. They wouldn't say that. They're my friend. The backhanded compliments that start with, "You're so lucky you can pull off that hat," or whatever. Sometimes there's like a bait and switch thing that can happen where somebody in your life that you share intimacy with, not necessarily physical, but, you know, you confess things to, you share parts of yourself with. You know, you can have a moment like this and then see the gifts that you gave them being used to hurt you in some way. And then what about when you tell them that they've hurt you and somehow you end up apologizing? Has this happened to you? And you're like, you leave and you're like, wait a minute, I was working up all this courage to be honest and give feedback about the impact of their actions. And then you end up apologizing for being easily offended or oversensitive or making a big deal out of it. Apologizing for how you brought it up in the first place. In general, frenemies will prioritize their experience over yours. They might only like being with you when you're down so that they can comfort you or be a hero or secretly feel superior. Because after all, when your life is shitty, they're not going to see you as a threat. Or sometimes it's the opposite, this like conditional friendship. Either, you know, they love you when you're down, or they are only there for you when you are successful and happy because it makes them look good by association. But when things get rough, they're just not there. So, you know, we've seen the movies. We know this trope, right, of the frenemy. It's the one who keeps you close. They're an amazing friend until it interferes with their conscious or subconscious agenda. They might not even know they're doing this. A frenemy is someone who is always the star of their movie, and it works so long as you're playing your supporting role. Now, I hope, dear listener, if you have had these kinds of relationships, I hope they are in your rear view mirror. And if not, because, you know, there's like relationships that I think we associate with high school or elementary school dynamics. And I don't have to tell you that they don't just stop happening when you leave elementary school. There are a lot of these dynamics that unless they're healed, unless they're seen, unless they're addressed, you'll find them in your workplace. You'll find them around the dinner table. You'll find them in social circles. You'll find them in your romantic relationships. This behavior can keep going. So if that's you, if it's in your present, I send you heaps of self-love encouragement. This is where self-love is crucial and powerful. So if you're struggling right now in a relationship that feels more hurtful than helpful, where you are likely challenged by a lack of boundaries and not sure how to handle them, not even sure how to get started, I know it can be hugely challenging and liberating to make these shifts. I really love to help people through them. So, you know, you can listen to the other episodes about boundaries. I have it in all caps in the title. So just scan, look for the word boundaries. There's a couple so far. There will be more coming. And you can also book a call with me right on my homepage, radicalcreativesanctuary.com. And we can talk one-on-one and I can help you through it. I really enjoy doing that. And I know that with the right support, you can do this. But you know who else is super close to you? Close enough to know exactly which buttons to push? Yep. It's you. This is the self-love horror movie where the calls are coming from inside the house. It's true. We have intimate knowledge of our own insecurities, those tender scenarios that will challenge us in unkind ways. If other people spoke to us the way we talk to ourselves at our worst, it would be shocking. Now, imagine, for example, that you made some innocent mistake, you know, like something very common, forgetting your keys at home. So, you know, maybe you had a lot going on or maybe not. And once you reach for your keys, you realize what you've done. Maybe you say something like, "Ugh, I forgot my keys. I'm such an idiot." I've heard many people use that phrase. Now, this is fascinating, right? Like you probably say something like this on the regular without even realizing it. Like, "Oh, that was so stupid of me. I'm such an idiot." Or, "Of course, I forgot them because I'm that kind of person who does these things." You might even say it in a seemingly harmless tone. You probably don't even notice that you're saying it. It's like, "Ugh, I'm an idiot." And it just kind of flows out of your mouth. So natural, you just don't see it. But I want you to take a moment with me now and listen to it in another way. So, same scenario. Let's say you took on some extra work, or you got caught up in a Netflix special, or you needed to find clean clothes from the dryer, whatever it was. And as you scrambled with your morning routine, slightly out of sync, you forgot your keys on the counter. You grabbed your lunch, forgot the keys, out you go. And then as you reach for them at work and you notice what has happened, you say, "Oh my God, I forgot my keys." And you say this to your coworker. And your coworker looks at you and says, "You're an idiot." Like, even if they said that in a somewhat neutral tone, that would be weird. Like, if they really meant it, they're like, "You're an idiot." I don't know. Maybe you talk to your coworkers this way. But, like, would you ever say this to somebody for something like that and really believe it? A coworker, a friend, even a stranger, someone you love? I hope not. And I don't think so. But dear listener, we all do this to ourselves. Even the people that you most admire, people with extraordinary talents, whom you might think are slightly less human than you, they do this too. We all have these negative voices in our minds. It's just a matter of how quickly, how clearly we're able to identify that voice, first of all. Some people just call that voice the truth. Until you start to realize, oh, this is a different voice. This voice, you know, is here to serve me in some way, but it's not the only voice. It doesn't get to run the show. So, like, noticing this voice and then how fast, how quickly you can, like, work your muscle into getting another voice to come in there and, like, take it down a notch. These are skills. So everyone has them. It's a human quality. So before we move on, I know it kind of sucks to notice how terribly you talk to yourself. It's a little embarrassing. It can be funny sometimes to share with a friend. but, you know, it's harsh, right? So forgive yourself first and foremost, for even doing this in the first place. It is human. We all do it. Okay? So forgive yourself and then cut it out. Like, stop doing it. What are you doing? Talking to yourself that way. I find that humor really, really helps. My self-marriage has been a wonderful framework to help me change the way I talk to myself, to have a sense of humor, to use a metaphor. When I catch myself saying some like really negative things, now I come back with like, hey, no one talks to my wife like that. Like, who are you talking to calling her an idiot because she forgot her keys? She was busy. She had a lot on her mind and she just forgot her keys. There's a simple solution to this. It's fine. And I can come to her defense and just, you know, tone it, have everybody like, okay, let's just take it down. Like, you can't see me, but I've got my hands up like I'm trying to hush a crowd. Like, all right, all right. Knock it off, everybody. Let's just like calm down. It's just a set of keys. A sense of humor will go a long way. Because as much as I am laughing here, and, you know, I work on this muscle. And trust me, I have days where I forget to say this. I forget to come to my defense. It'll go on a little longer. I know the pain of this. I know the pain of telling myself things that are only going to hurt me and slow me down and get in my way. Things that are not coming from love. They might be coming from a place of protection. At least that's what it thinks. And, you know, it's a way to keep us safe. And another word for safe in this scenario is small. Let's not change. Let's not grow. Let's not dream. Let's tone it down. I know that it's really painful. When you're mean to yourself, you know, getting close and intimate and then using that proximity to cause emotional harm, like the just like the frenemy who like gets your secrets and then uses them against you. Sometimes when you're doing personal growth work, you can use that against you. I'm going to repeat that. Sometimes when you're doing personal growth work, your inner saboteur, your inner critic, this inner frenemy can use that information against you. Do you know what I'm talking about? I have a feeling this might resonate with a few of you out there. And I also want to say, that's great. It's to be expected because this voice is not going to die. It's not going to just stay small. It's like, you know, the stronger you get, the stronger it gets. It's a part of you. So it will find new sneaky, but you become more self-aware. You're like, ha ha, I got it. You're a saboteur voice. I'm not going to listen anymore. La, la, la. And then the saboteur voice is like a master of disguises. It's got to do something else to get your attention. It's got to be a little more stealthy, right? It's going to be a really good opponent. It's just like going to keep, it's actually fascinating to, and you can make this a game. See if you can spot it. It's like, where's Waldo? Like sometimes my inner saboteur will come out in the most ridiculous, like spiritual ways, like things that are like total, like just like mind bendy, like that scene in Labyrinth where like, you know, like he's walking and then he's upside down and the stairs go one way and the other way. It just gets like really complicated. And I know now that the way I can like diffuse that and have compassion is to like zoom out and not get all caught up and dizzy by the whole thing. It's just trying to distract me. That's its new power, but it's not working like it did the first few times. So that is also normal too. This is very, very human. It's painful to experience, it's painful to realize, and it's painful to acknowledge, and especially to witness again after we've acknowledged it. But this is a practice. It's a practice, and it's just going to keep happening. The more that you're open to that, and you get that it's a practice, and that you expect it to be there, then, you know, you won't feel like you're doing anything wrong, because this is exactly what happens to all the people. In fact, you know, the shape-shifting of your frenemy and the new ways they'll find to come in and like beat you down is actually like wonderful, because they're, if you're not hearing the voice, often it's because you're not taking a risk. If everything was really safe and you're not really doing anything that's going to take you out of your comfort zone, you're not really going to hear a whole lot of that voice. It definitely will get a lot louder when you make a change. You know, I see this a lot with my clients. You know, as soon as they decide, I'm going to do this, I'm going to spend the next 3 months being serious about this, I'm going to make a commitment, I'm going to make change in my life, I'm going to reexamine my relationships, I'm going to reexamine my relationship to me, I'm going to make choices that are going to build the life that I want. And you know that there's going to be other people and things in your life that are going to be affected by that. Of course those voices are going to come up, right? You're really shaking the scene. So they're going to come up and who do you think you are? You know, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. They're going to get loud. So it's like, to me, I celebrate the arrival of those voices because I know it's like, ooh, you are shaking it up right now if you're hearing those voices. That's a good sign. And they don't get to drive. So, you know, people have probably said terrible things about me that I don't know about. People have said terrible things about me to my face. But I have said some of the worst things ever said about me. I have said things that shame, that kill all hope, that punish and blame. I have said things that I would never say to another being. Even one that I temporarily felt hatred towards. I've said things to myself that I wouldn't say to them. Things like, you know, you'll never make it. You should just give up. It's too late for you. You're not enough. These are some of the ones that I know well and I know are very common. And maybe some of them are versions of yours. Have you ever said these things to yourself? It's too late. Why bother? There's no point. It's just you, so it doesn't matter. And how about this one? You're special. As in, things can work out for other people, but not you. Because there's something just really special about you. It's like, oh, I believe dreams can come true, sure, but not for me. There's something special about me. Your inner frenemy may have said these things or other things. Most of our inner critic thoughts can be boiled down to either you're too much or you're not enough. Who do you think you are? And, you know, so what's the point of this? You know, if all people do it, okay, so it's normal. And, you know, maybe you're being really nice to everyone else in your life. You speak respectfully, kindly, as much as you can, you know, and you're like, you might think to yourself, well, it doesn't matter if I'm mean to myself because nobody else can hear this and, you know, you're okay. Everybody does it. You're not really hurting anyone. It's not like you're saying it out loud or saying it to someone. You're not hurting anyone. Is this true? Brené Brown says, because true belonging only happens when we present our authentic, imperfect selves to the world, our sense of belonging can never be greater than our level of self-acceptance. Your level of self-acceptance is what either allows you to be who you are in this world or not. It will allow you to connect, to truly connect with other beings or not. Other beings who need the gifts that only you can bring. Other beings who want to love you, who may have their lives changed radically by simply witnessing or connecting with who you are. You know, I often will just like, when I'm questioning something about me and thinking about greatness and taking up space, I think of one of my like biggest heroes of taking up space and self-expression, Prince. What if Prince had thought one day, nah, you know, I'm not really good enough. Why bother? It's too late for me. Who do I think I am? Yada, yada, yada. And just like didn't bother being Prince the way we know Prince. Like, I can't even imagine a world without his contribution. But you know what? It doesn't even have to be. You might be like, okay, that's great, Danette, but I'm not Prince. I'm not a rock star. I'm not a scientist. When I say that there are other beings who need the gifts that only you can bring, I'm opening up for like the world of mystery here. Have you ever had a conversation with someone, even a stranger, that changed the course of your life? That you were having a horrible day and maybe were about to do horrible things, and you had a brush with someone, maybe not even in person. Maybe you read something that they wrote. Maybe you overheard them talking on a bus. I don't know, but we impact each other so much more than we realize. And even then, so, you know, are you hurting anyone? Potentially these people who could benefit from your existence, who are meant to meet you, who, whose lives would be changed without you. So even if you disregard those people, okay, disregard that thought, all those people who might have their lives enriched by your existence, okay, are you still hurting anyone? Of course you are. You're hurting yourself. And that really matters. These thoughts aren't small things. You know, the more you think them, the more you believe them, you're just like really like in a weird way, like brainwashing yourself into a state where you stop growing, where that flower stops blooming, that tree stops thickening, where we don't get to see the full kaleidoscope expression of your life here. And of course it takes courage to do the work of self-acceptance. You know, I know that. We come into this world with complex inherited trauma, with caregivers who are doing the best they can, but that best might be pretty painful and harmful for some of us. We come into this world with little sponges soaking up the culture we live in, with all of its generational paradigms of racism and systematic oppression. And that's just like baseline, never mind the events, unexpected injuries, and other things that can happen along the way and get sucked into those little sponges. It is no small feat to come into our own, witness ourselves as sacred creative beings, to separate our nature from our conditioning, to see ourselves, the full spectrum of ourselves, the potential of that, even if you can't see it, the potential of that, to see it with curiosity and love. Because even with support, this takes courage, and we don't always have support available. So this work is brave, and here you are listening to this podcast, getting your pep talk. You're here doing the work. You're listening and thinking about it. Take breaks, dear listener. Know that this is powerful. Just, this might all be old news. Maybe you have read a billion self-help books, and you know all about that. You've heard like 72 different words for the inner critic. They're like, everyone has their own word for this. I like little hater, frenemy, whatever. You know all this stuff. You know it. But the more that you can let it wash over you, the repetition is such a powerful thing. Let it get in there. Keep in mind all the times that you have said, I'm such an idiot, when you lost your keys. Who knows how many times you've said that or something like that in your lifetime where you don't even notice it anymore, but it does get in there. So you sitting here listening to this now, know that this is powerful work. This is you choosing to infuse more positive messaging, leaning into the direction of self-love and self-acceptance. The more powerful the self-love work, the more compassion you will require as you go. You know, I likely told myself horrible things thousands of times before I learned about self-talk in the first place. And before I began to cultivate the skills to listen and discern and reprogram how I speak to myself. See, that's the thing with programming and conditioning. We don't even know we're doing it. So this is why compassion is really important. It's not your fault. We don't even know. Once you know, you can begin the process of shifting the direction. And that's what you're doing right now. It is important for this world we live in that we cultivate the skills to see ourselves. What's important about this is, like, you're not escaping reality when you do personal growth work. When you look at yourself, this is the doorway in. If we cultivate the skills to see ourselves truly, accept ourselves compassionately, then we can see our own biases. We can see how we have internalized judgments about ourselves and about people who look or think or believe things that are different from us. To see where we experience privilege in the world, to question the system that we might have benefited from, to see how we're participating in the harm and the oppression of others. You know, can we do this if we can't even see and accept who we are? I ask this sincerely. I ask this question a lot. You know, it's so, okay. I used to throw these huge Halloween parties back in the day. And so usually, well, by this time, it's mid-September as I'm recording this, like it would be like we got started. It was like, you know, we tried to hold off Labor Day. It was like full swing. But anyways, I spent a lot of time usually around this time of year in places to get props and stuff for the party. And I remember the first time I was looking at black lights so that we could like do some fun play with like glowing things. And I learned that I think I was looking at one and it was something like it had this other purpose. And the purpose was that it would show you scorpions if you're in the desert. I'm even questioning my memory on this right now. But I remember thinking like, oh, like this wasn't invented as a party tool. It was invented so that when you're in the desert, you know when you're surrounded by scorpions. Like you're in your tent, you just want to make sure. And I thought to myself, like, you know, it's like that crime scene thing where they have like, you know, they shut the lights off and you can see where all the blood splattered all over the place. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to know if I'm surrounded by scorpions. Like, unless I can actually do something about it. But I remember just being horrified by that. But here's the thing. So like, you know, I kind of joke like, oh, God, do I even want to know? Well, just because you don't see something doesn't mean it's not there. So the good news, if you are facing things about yourself, about how you view yourself, about how you view others, these uncomfortable truths, that is very important work. What is wonderful is that now you are noticing it, and if you notice it, you can do something to change it. You will be more effective to make loving, powerful change in the world when you can accept and love who you are, even as you make mistakes. Let a bigger vision motivate you. If that motivates you, if you think, oh, God, like, I don't want to just think about myself. Know that if you do this work, this is the doorway to doing work that can make change on a much bigger global level. And know that you are not serving the world when you play small and selfless. Think about the word selfless. You are not there. There's no self. You're not there. That's it's funny how we can like aspire to the word selfless. I know it's more complicated than that, but I know that when you say selfless, it's like, oh, you're being so generous. But there's something also different about embodying and taking up space as the being, the beautiful being of light that you are, and connecting from there and being generous from there and making positive change in the world from there, listening, connecting, letting the walls come down. You know, I really love the work that I do because it's focused at the root. It's focused at the acorn level, I often say. you know, but it's like it's got that bigger vision of the oak tree in mind. Without the acorn, you don't have an oak tree. It's so beautiful doing this work at that core level. You know, it's I recently watched, I won't give any spoilers, even though I know I'm like RuPaul's Drag Race has been in has been on for many a season. But even though, you know, I know that some people join in late to the game. So no spoilers here. But one particular season, there was somebody crowned in a theater full of like joyful, non-conforming fans. And this queen was like just so like, the emotion in her face when her name was called. And like, you know, she like grabs the scepter and you see like the shots in the audience of like her boyfriend's face, her father's face, the joy in the crowd. Everyone was so happy, right? And like, this is what I mean about selfless and how it's important that you be there. There was this queen and it was like, if there was no self, there was no her, there would not be this moment of everyone sharing this emotional experience. Anyways, this particular queen was asked if she had anything to say. And there's, you know I have an explicit warning on the Soft Shoulder podcast just because I just like to speak without a filter. But there's definitely some, you know, some language you might not want your toddlers hearing in this beautiful statement by this particular queen. So what did she want to say? Here's what she said. Let's change shit up. Let's get inspired by all this beauty, and change the motherfucking world. And the crowd erupts in resonance. And yes, I totally cried. And this is basically my mission statement. Not quite that way, but it's kind of that way. It's like, there's all this beauty. Let's take this. Let's change the world. And the beauty starts with you. A client of mine recently brought up the importance of shared emotional experiences and how this was a value deep in the core of what she's creating in her life. Things that she already knew were true just seemed to glow with more luminosity and richness once she found language to name it. A result of her doing the work to discover, to accept, to be curious and interested in herself, in her own life, her own purpose for being there. Things start to glow. There's that beauty, right? It doesn't have to be as grand as like a queen on a stage with all the world watching. It could just be a moment, right? A moment where you have that resonance, where that beauty comes alive and you could take that and like a flame, just like let it grow and let it grow. This path is a beautiful one indeed. And yes, it takes courage. So you will need encouragement. You will need to be your own best friend, not your own worst frenemy. If you are judging yourself, pause. Remember that it's okay. Remember that it's human. I spoke before about the concept of the second arrow. For those unfamiliar, this is a Buddhist concept about how, you know, there's going to be some pain in life. So let's say you're, you know, someone shoots you with a bow and arrow and the arrow lands and hits you. That's the first thing. That's just life. That's something that might happen. And what we often do, which is called suffering, is we add another arrow to it by judging the first arrow and by being angry that the arrow's there in the first place. And we just keep shooting ourselves into more and more suffering that's unnecessary, right? So when you notice yourself, this happens commonly with self-talk because it's another way you can get really tripped up into it, right? Like, oh, there I go, calling myself an idiot again when I forgot my keys. I knew all about this frenemy thing. I just listened to the podcast, but here I am again. Oh, I'm still going. Like, you could just keep putting arrows into this whole thing. Like, just whenever you can, pause. Human. You are human. The pain is one thing. Judging the pain is unnecessary. As soon as you notice it, lay off, you know. You know, another thing is just to like with take the judgment out of it is to think of it as having like an allergy to something. And then you finally find out what it is. It's like, oh, I've been surrounding myself with this thing that causes me harm. Great. Now you're empowered to do something about it. Right. So like as soon as you notice it, you can just remove it. It doesn't matter how many times you ate peanuts or whatever before. It's like, oh, OK, you can stop now. Once you know better, you can do better. So how do you change your frenemy thoughts? How do you even notice what they are? Some of you might be familiar with them. The first step is that is to notice and congratulate yourself for noticing, because this is the hardest part. And this is the part that like leaves people just believing horrible things about themselves. If you don't notice that it's a frenemy voice, you're not ever going to be able to do anything to change it because you can't even see it. So it's a painful, gross thing. This is the flashlight on the scorpions. It's like, oh God, look at these horrible things I'm saying. And then congratulate. Remember, what would Danette say? She would say, this is great. Congratulate yourself. This is brave. This is amazing that you're looking at it. This is a powerful moment. How do you notice it? Write them down. Allow yourself to journal. Even when you're feeling really pissed and angry at yourself, don't filter. Just write it down. Remember that afterwards you can look at it and go, oh, like you can step back. If you let your frenemy have the mic, give her a bunch of pages. Maybe you want to cap her off a few pages and then lean back and just take a breath and look, you know, from a distance at what you've written down, at what the frenemy has written down. There is a separation between the two of you. Would you ever talk to someone you care about in this way? Be honest. Would you ever let someone talk to you to your face this way? Would you let someone talk to your wife this way, or your husband, or your partner, or your spouse, or your honey bunny, or whatever you want to call yourself? How could you be a better friend to yourself? Let's put it this way. If we're looking at befriending ourselves and you write down all the frenemy stuff and you look at it, think like, would you like want to go to lunch with that person? I hope not. So start where you are. Any of this work is moving you in the right direction. And, you know, if it's particularly painful and particularly strong, the more strong that voice is, the more compassion. Just keep like lathering up the compassion on this. We're looking for self-acceptance here, for doing less harm and then doing no harm. And then starting to move the needle into the kindness and the love. Now, I get that, like, you know, we all come in at a different place. And sometimes life's circumstances can have us maybe leaning a little bit more harsher to ourselves than other times. So make the goal self-acceptance for doing little or no harm. Because from here, love can begin to grow. And the world needs your love, dear listener. You are someone worth loving. It all starts with you. This episode and every episode of the Soft Shoulder Podcast is brought to you by Tech Coven. Tech Coven is where you can get skilled digital tarot readings for introverts with just the right amount of woo. You will feel the sincerity, insight, and wisdom of your personal tarot reading by Allison Tarr, all while in the comfort of your home and personal space. Treat yourself to a tarot reading by an introvert who gets it at techcoven.com. Big thank you, as always, to Tech Coven and to all of you. Soft Shoulder would not exist without you. I appreciate your time, your attention, and your self-love curiosity. Let's take all this beauty, and change the world. Take good care, and we'll talk to you soon.